Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we delve into The Myth of Normal, a revelatory book co-authored by Dr. Gabor Mate and his son, Daniel Mate. Published in 2022, this insightful work challenges the conventional understandings within Western medicine, proposing that the true culprits behind the rising rates of chronic disease and mental illness might be deeply entrenched in our culture itself. From stress to adversity to trauma, what we often dismiss as normal aspects of life are in fact potential sources of toxicity that fuel health issues. Dr. Gabor Mate, a Canadian physician renowned for his groundbreaking work with addiction and his deep compassion, brings over 40 years of clinical experience to his writing. His notable contributions include best-selling titles like In the Realm of Hungry Ghosts and Hold On to Your Kids. Daniel Mate, an award-winning lyricist and composer from Brooklyn, adds a unique blend of creativity and sharp analysis to this collaboration, making it their third joint literary venture. This book is essential reading for health professionals seeking a broader understanding of healthcare, lovers of insightful social critiques, and anyone navigating personal health challenges. Join us as we explore how reevaluating what we consider normal might just be the key to better health and well-being. The Myth of Normal: Trauma, Illness, and Healing in a Toxic Culture. Introduction. Understand how our perception of normal is harmful to our health. Back in the 1990s, a curious observation unfolded at the Cleveland Clinic. The nursing staff found themselves unexpectedly able to predict which patients might develop ALS, a severe neurodegenerative disorder, simply through brief interactions. Their notes often included remarks like, "Probably has ALS, she is too nice," or, "No way, he is not nice enough." Surprisingly, these offhand guesses turned out to be right, more often than not. As time went on, studies began backing up these anecdotal observations. Published works with titles like Patients with ALS Are Usually Nice Persons lend credence to this theory. Even further research, like those in cancer nursing, explored similar connections between suppressed anger and cancer risks. But the intriguing question that arises here is, how can being too nice be indicative of predispositions to serious ailments? Enter Dr. Gabor Mate, a renowned physician whose work delves deeply into the realms of trauma and chronic stress as fundamental factors in understanding disease. Dr. Mate challenges the prevailing notions about health and illness, positing that the environment conducive to modern diseases is perpetuated by societal norms and expectations that are inherently harmful. According to Dr. Mate, we need to rethink our definition of disease. Instead of viewing illnesses as mere reflections of individual pathology, he suggests that they should be seen as alarms, warnings from our bodies that the environment we accept as normal is actually detrimental. He points out that what society often labels as abnormal, such as addiction, mental health issues, and various diseases, are quite reasonable reactions to the consistent stress and trauma many experience in their day-to-day lives. This perspective invites us to consider compassion and understanding as crucial elements in addressing and healing from diseases. By shifting our view toward recognizing how societal pressures contribute to health problems, we can begin to forge a path to a healthier, more empathetic society. Part 1: The Painful Rift Between Needing Love and Being True to Oneself. At the age of 27, Miyoki Ikaro found herself immobilized by a rare and excruciating condition known as scleroderma, which causes the body's connective tissue to harden. Confined to her bed and overwhelmed by pain and despair, her thoughts turned dark, even contemplating ending her life. Miyoki's health baffled medical professionals, prompting her to delve into her own past for clues. Born in Korea, she was relinquished by her single mother for adoption at just 6 months old. Her new life in the United States began when she was adopted by an evangelical couple. The strict and rigid upbringing masked a darker reality. Years of sexual abuse by her adoptive father, a trauma she had repressed until adulthood. As Mi-Oke revisited her traumatic experiences, she recognized the emotional pain she had been concealing. Her survival strategy involved transforming into a hyper-functional individual who, while indispensable at work, bore the emotional burdens of those around her. Mi-Oke's story, although unique in its details, reflects a common narrative among those suffering from autoimmune diseases. Traits such as self-sacrifice, repressing negative emotions, particularly anger, and a heightened need for social validation appear frequently in medical histories, similar to those observed in ALS patients at the Cleveland Clinic. Dr. Gabor Mate identifies these patterns as a clash between two innate human needs, attachment and authenticity. Attachment involves our inherent desire for emotional closeness and love, whereas authenticity demands that we live as our true selves, guided by a profound understanding of who we really are. For Mi-Oke, the trauma related to her abandonment and abuse was so severe that it forced her to detach from her personal memories and emotional identity. She discovered safety in hard work and utilitarianism, which appeared to assure acceptance and love. This is what Dr. Mate describes as the split self. It represents the division within, parts of ourselves we accept and promote, against those we reject and hide. Mi-Oke's journey towards healing began when she courageously reconnected with those aspects of herself she had once denied. Today, without the need for medication, Mi-Oke's life is transformed. She is able to walk, travel, and even hike, embracing both the joys and challenges life offers. Next, we will delve into how this concept of the split self lays the groundwork for various diseases. Part 2: How stress acts as a catalyst for illness in our bodies. We've observed how internal conflicts, particularly between our need for connection, attachment, and our need to remain true to our own identity, authenticity, can create a divided self. In an attempt to gain approval or love, we often end up suppressing our genuine emotions and desires. The effect of this suppression on our well-being is profound and predominantly mediated by stress. To understand its biological impacts, consider the body under stress as a bustling network of highways, connecting various vital centers responsible for our biological equilibrium. When faced with emotional stress, a complex interplay among the hypothalamus, the brain's regulatory center, and the glands like the pituitary and adrenal occurs. These organs orchestrate the release of stress hormones, including adrenaline and cortisol, essentially preparing the body for a fight or flight response. However, when stress becomes chronic, these hormones flood the system relentlessly, leading to fatigue and systemic breakdown. This kind of prolonged stress not only disrupts the nervous system, manifesting as anxiety during high-pressure situations like exams or presentations, but also weakens the body's defense mechanisms. In a healthy scenario, the immune system springs into action against threats and then recedes once the danger is mitigated. Under stress, however, this off switch is compromised, leading to persistent inflammation. This unchecked immune response can then begin attacking healthy cells, a condition seen in autoimmune diseases such as ALS and scleroderma. Furthermore, stress exerts influence right down to the molecular level, impacting our DNA. Consider telomeres, the cap-like structures safeguarding our chromosomes, much like the aglets at the ends of shoelaces. As we age, telomeres naturally shorten, but undue stress can accelerate this process, leading to premature aging of cells and increased disease susceptibility. Dr. Mate underscores a crucial point here. There is an inseparable link between mental stress and physical health, a concept he refers to as mind-body unity. Though our body's stress response mechanisms evolved to help us cope with immediate threats, the constant activation brought on by contemporary social stresses undermines our health, a topic we'll delve deeper into next. Part 3: How societal structures foster chronic stress and affect our health. Imagine a petri dish, commonly used in biology labs to cultivate microbes. This dish provides the perfect environment, controlled light, temperature, and nutrients necessary for organisms to grow. Similarly, our societal environment, or cultural petri dish, greatly influences human health and behavior. Unfortunately, Dr. Gábor Máté posits that our current cultural conditions are far from ideal. They are, in fact, inherently toxic and a breeding ground for chronic stress, which underpins many of our modern ailments. Take economic instability as an example. The pressure to perform and remain financially stable has significantly increased, requiring most individuals to work longer hours, often at the expense of family time and personal well-being. This relentless struggle not only fuels anxiety, but also undermines self-esteem and security in one's role. Furthermore, societal disparities significantly impact health outcomes. Dr. Brad Greenwood's research signals alarming disparities, indicating that Black newborns face double the risk of mortality if cared for by non-Black doctors. Similarly, a Canadian study revealed that women generally have poorer health outcomes post-heart surgery than men, primarily because they typically resume caregiving responsibilities sooner, thereby shortening their recovery period. Dr. Máté also critiques the capitalist drive that permeates our culture, emphasizing how consumerism exploits our insecurities. Advertising is aggressively designed to make us feel incomplete without certain products, pressing us to buy more in the pursuit of happiness and fulfillment. Moreover, the democratic influence that the average person holds over public policy is minimal compared to the considerable sway of the economic elite. Studies confirm that policies favored by the majority are seldom enacted if opposed by the wealthy minority, further contributing to a sense of powerlessness among the general populace. From this vantage, it becomes clear why chronic stress is rampant in our society. Our cultural environment, as it stands, is not optimized for human thriving, but rather perpetuates conditions that challenge our health and mental well-being. Part 4. How early childhood trauma shapes our futures in a stress-driven society. In a culture where stress is rampant, its harshest effects often fall on the youngest among us, children. Studies, like the one by Sonia Lupien, show that children can experience heightened stress hormone levels in response to their parents' economic anxieties. This is particularly concerning considering a child's developmental stage makes them especially susceptible to their surroundings. During these pivotal early years, their health, brain development, and the quality of their future relationships are being shaped. Crucial to a child's development is the need for secure attachments to caregivers, with interactions that are warm, attuned, and consistent. Unfortunately, when these interactions are compromised by stress, or when caregivers are inconsistently available, the child's emotional and psychological growth can be severely disrupted. Ideally, society should nurture an environment that minimizes stress around childbirth and child rearing, fostering optimal conditions for young families. However, the reality often starkly contradicts this ideal. Parents today grapple with considerable isolation and economic strain, reducing their capacity to be fully present and supportive. Additionally, societal norms often prioritize the community's or economy's needs over the developmental needs of children. For instance, consider the prevalent practices around childbirth. Many birthing processes are excessively medicalized, stripping agency from women and potentially leading to obstetric trauma. Post-birth, essential parental bonding time is often cut short by inadequate maternity leave policies. In the United States, a staggering 1/4 of women find themselves back at work merely 2 weeks after giving birth. Parenting philosophies, too, often advocate for approaches that can alienate children from their natural need for comfort and connection. Influential guides like those by Dr. Benjamin Spock have historically encouraged parents to let infants cry it out to expedite sleep training, a method that prioritizes adjusting children to adult schedules over nurturing secure emotional attachments. In essence, when society undermines the foundational needs of its youngest members, it sets the stage for what Dr. Gábor Máté identifies as embedded chronic stress. This type of environment fosters deep-seated trauma that can echo throughout an individual's life, influencing their emotional and psychological well-being long into adulthood. Part 5. Understanding health as a reflection of life experiences and environmental context. Dr. Gabor Maté's own history of depression traces its origins back to the harrowing circumstances of his infancy during Nazi-occupied Hungary, where the shadows of trauma were deep and lasting. His Jewish grandparents perished in Auschwitz, and his mother, in an act of desperation to save her son, sent him off to relative safety with other family members. This early separation created a profound gap between mother and child, one so deep that upon their reunion, he was unable to even look at her. Years later, Dr. Maté recognizes that his inability to connect with his mother after their separation was a natural and adaptive response to the trauma he experienced, a psychological mechanism to avoid the immense pain of potential loss again, reminiscent of Miyoki's repressed abuse memories. This early childhood trauma, Dr. Maté points out, didn't just vanish. It embedded itself into his nervous system and psyche, shaping his behaviors and emotional responses into adulthood. By viewing his depression, not simply as a pathological disease, but as a manifestation of his life experiences and his mother's traumas, he unveils how deeply intertwined our well-being is with our personal and social environments. In his practice, Dr. Maté has observed similar patterns among his patients dealing with addiction. Many of them resorted to substance abuse as a means of escaping from emotional distress or traumatic experiences from their younger years. This observation reflects a broader principle. Mental illnesses and addictions often originate as coping mechanisms in response to adversity and stress, particularly within a toxic societal framework. Viewing sickness and health through this lens suggests that our ailments, whether physical or mental, serve as alarms, urgent signals calling us to examine the broader context of our lives and the world we inhabit. Each condition, each symptom, tells a story not just of biological processes, but of emotional landscapes, social dynamics, and historical contexts. What if we reframed our understanding of illness? What if we saw it not as a sudden malfunction, but as a narrative arc extending from our past, through our present, and possibly into our future? What if the journey through illness is, in essence, a transformative process urging us to confront and heal from our deepest wounds? This perspective invites a more holistic and compassionate approach to health, urging us to consider not only the biological, but also the emotional, social, and historical factors that shape our well-being. Part 6. Exploring pathways to healing and wholeness. Though addressing the toxic elements of our culture entirely may be a vast undertaking, there remains substantial hope for individual healing. Dr. Gabor Maté emphasizes that healing is fundamentally about moving towards a state of completeness, toward being whole again. If the genesis of many diseases involves a disconnection from ourselves, our emotions, or from others, then it follows logically that healing would involve a reintegration of these fragmented parts. This healing process requires us to acknowledge not only our personal suffering, but also the collective suffering around us, and to bravely face the wounds that have led to our feelings of detachment. An effective tool that Dr. Maté recommends for initiating this journey is called compassionate inquiry. This approach fosters a stance of acceptance toward what is and who you are, discarding any notions of what should be. It promotes a sincere and open exploration, one that does not assume complete understanding from the onset. On a practical level, you might start integrating this into your routine on a daily or weekly basis. It begins with introspection, ideally with answers documented by hand. You might ask yourself questions like, "When do I find it hard to say no in crucial areas of my life, and what effect does this have on me?" Or, "When have I neglected my own desire to say yes?" These questions aim to identify instances where you suppress your genuine emotions and needs in favor of pleasing others. Further inquiries could involve recognizing bodily cues you've been overlooking. What physical signs have I ignored? And which symptoms might be signaling a deeper issue? These questions connect the dots between your emotional strains and physical symptoms. Additionally, contemplate the underlying narratives that compel you to consistently deny your needs. Where did I learn these behaviors? Understanding the origins of these stories can help you see how your reactions and behaviors once served a purpose. Ultimately, the objective of this pathway to healing is to reconnect with your true, innate self. By doing so, you can begin to liberate yourself from the habitual reactions and adaptations to stress, adversity, and trauma that have caused disconnection, moving closer towards a state of authentic wholeness. Final summary. From the moment we are born, we are thrust into a society that prioritizes collective needs often above individual well-being, setting the stage for both minor and major traumas. As a response to these painful experiences, many of us dissociate from our emotions. We reject parts of ourselves and withdraw from the warmth and vulnerability of genuine connections. This internal strife can manifest in various forms: mental illness, addiction, and chronic diseases, all tracing back to these deep-seated emotional wounds and the stress they embed within our bodies. Despite tremendous advancements in various fields, cases of disease and mental health issues continue to climb. Yet our medical establishments often fail to consider the full spectrum of a person's life, the emotional, psychological, and social dimensions that are intrinsically linked to one's physical health. Commonly, the approach isolates the biological aspects of a disease from its environmental and emotional contexts in an effort to restore what is considered normal. But it begs the question, what is normal? Is it perhaps this very concept of normalcy, shaped and upheld by societal expectations, that is contributing to our ailments? As we navigate through these reflections, it becomes clear that understanding the interplay between our personal histories, societal structures, and health is crucial. This broader perspective not only challenges our conventional approaches to healthcare, but also prompts a deeper inquiry into how, and at what cost, we maintain the facade of normalcy that may very well be at the root of our collective disease. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.